So, Fred, first of all, just how vigorously are you preparing for these debates?
Well, we've approached the entire campaign like there's a lot of work and preparation involved. We've been traveling all across the state for almost a year and a half now, trying to meet as many voters as possible, trying to listen and understand their issues. And I'm doing the same for the debates, making sure that I get a chance to talk to as many people as possible, understand what they think is going well with our state, what can be better, and what kind of changes we need to make to give people better opportunities.
What do people say is going well in the state when you're talking to them?
Well, I think some people think that the low unemployment numbers are good, but then when they look behind them and they look in their own pocketbook and they find out their incomes aren't rising in the last several years, people may be working, but they're not getting livable wages. The United Way say over 40%, almost 40% of the people in Iowa aren't making enough money to take care of food, shelter, and clothing. 2 years ago, that number was like 27, 28%. So it's getting a lot worse. More and more people are getting left behind in our state, and they may be employed, but they're not gainfully employed enough to be able to actually really participate in our economy and take care of their kids and their own needs properly.
Before this campaign, you're relatively unknown in the state. I'm curious, one of the criticisms that's been out there is, you know, to let yourself be known to more people, to release more of your tax returns. Why not put a few more years out?
You know, we put out three pages of our federal and our state return. But in fact, Governor Reynolds' ad makes it look like we didn't put out any tax information. I run into people all the time and say, didn't you release any tax information? Because that's the implication of her ad, which is completely misleading. We did put out federal information and state information, and it shows what our income was, what our deductions were, what our charitable contributions, and how much taxes we paid state and federal government. And the other piece of information that's out there is we've disclosed in the statewide financial disclosure report every source of income $1,000 on up. So people know where we're getting our income, and they know what taxes we paid, both state and federal, and they know what our deductions are, and they know we're making significant charitable contributions.
Last week, Iowa budget officials released information showing that there was a surplus much larger than they expected, $127 million surplus. You were critical of this in a press release soon after that information came forward. Surplus, that's a bad thing?
No, I think everybody wants to have a surplus. We're required to balance a budget in our state, but it disturbs me that we just finished a legislative session where they made over $30 million in budget cuts, mid-year budget cuts, on top of even more budget cuts the year before. And they borrowed $144 million from the reserve funds just a year and a half ago. So I don't get the sense that, with the surplus being so much bigger than it was supposed to be, on top of mid-year budget cuts, that's not good budget management. That's fiscal mismanagement. We shouldn't have been taking money out of education, out of healthcare, out of public safety, out of our judicial system, and then come up with a budget surplus that was a lot bigger than they thought it was, and they can't explain why. All that means is that we're reducing opportunities for people to get the right education, get the right public safety to protect themselves and our communities, and the right healthcare opportunities.
The Regents universities have been concerned about the level of state funding that they've been receiving. Small increases combined with mid-year cuts have led to this. If you're elected governor, how would you work to try to turn this around, or what are some of the answers you see so that the universities feel more confident in the level of state funding?
Well, if I were the universities, given how they've been treated the last 3 years, I'd be nervous too. They've had 3 years in a row of actual budget cuts, and so have our community colleges. It's unacceptable. And Governor Reynolds said publicly it's the region's fault that tuition is going up. Well, the only sources of revenue the region schools have is tuition and government and state funding. So when they reduce it from the state, then obviously they're going to have some increase in tuition. So my goal is to properly manage the budget with the right priorities. There's a lot of money in state government that we could be using much more wisely if we stop these wasteful tax giveaways and use some of that money to better fund our region schools and our community colleges so they wouldn't have to raise tuition so fast and students wouldn't be incurring as much student debt as they are. It's really hurting families and it's hurting our communities.
So what more can be done?
Well, it's properly managing the state budget by not continuing to fund the wasteful tax giveaways that we identified back in 2009 when I was on a tax credit review panel for the state government. We looked at every single credit exemption deduction in our income tax code identified those that were creating value for the state and those that weren't. The ones that weren't, we recommended reducing them or eliminating them. And the governor and the legislature, Republican leaders in the legislature, have refused to reduce or eliminate wasteful tax giveaways. And we should have been doing it for the last 7 or 8 years.
There were some recent Iowa poll numbers given about things that are important to Iowans heading into the voting booth. One of those being education, K through 12 education. Do you feel like it's being funded adequately at the state level? I think I know the answer to this.
No, I don't. You know, it's been funded on the last 7 years at an average of about 1.2%. And we all know inflation has been growing faster than that. So it's very difficult to be able to recruit, retain teachers, give them the resources they need. When I talk to teachers and school administrators, what you hear oftentimes is there's more children in each classroom. There are a lot more behavior disorders than a lot of the children that are coming into their classes. There's a lot more issues around ELL, English Language Learning, that are necessary. So the teachers are being asked to do more with less. They have less time for prep, less time to they're busy all day long with classes. So they have less time to prepare for the classes, and yet they have more responsibilities in the class and more students. That's not a recipe for having better education. And in fact, that's why our education system, which used to be an A and everybody in Iowa knew it and was proud of it, is now rated a C, which is unacceptable. We need to properly fund our schools and we need to aspire to be one of the best in the country again. And we could be if we just put our minds to it.
And that rating, what are you referring to there?
The Education AMC? Week.
Education Week, got it. Another issue that you've made a big one in this election is the privatization of Medicaid. The management of of Medicaid in the state was handed over to the private companies back in 2016. You've talked about moving it back under the state control. I'm curious, how do you do something like that without disrupting the care of thousands of vulnerable Iowans that have already seen things change so much for them?
Well, let me just say one thing first. I'm not making a big deal out of that. What I'm doing is recounting to the public what I'm hearing from people all across the state. Because you know, all the patients, we've probably had at least 30 different health forums around Iowa focused on Medicaid privatization. So I've been meeting with parents, meeting with Medicaid patients, meeting with providers, and that's what they're telling me. It's not working for any one of those groups. As a matter of fact, it's getting worse. So what I'm talking about is, well, I'm hearing you, I'm listening to you, and I want to help you. And that's what we need to do in our state. It starts with bringing, you're right, you don't want to do it too fast because they already are a vulnerable piece of the population. They need to be treated carefully and properly. So we can start on day one as when the next administration takes over, but you can't do it fast. You have to do it gradually and only change over to the new system as people are ready for it and the systems are there so you can do it without creating too much chaos in their lives again.
When we spoke back in June ahead of the primary election, you had mentioned perhaps not just completely returning to the fee-for-service model. You talked about plans in Minnesota, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, ways of managing Medicaid. You said there's a lot of time between June and January when a possible Hubble administration would take over. Have you had time to really look at different plans that would work in a situation like Iowa's?
Well, yes, we have. And what you find is Iowa is one of only two states in the country that moved everything at the same time to a full outsourced managed care operation with three outside companies, the other one being Kansas. And Kansas is a complete disaster. And now the person who ran the Kansas program is running our program. So I'm not very optimistic it's going to get any better. But there are other states that did it differently, much to your point earlier, much more gradually than we did here, so they don't disrupt the lives of such, you know, vulnerable populations. And we're going to do that. We're going to look at each group. We're focused on the quality of the outcome for the individual, balanced with the cost, rather than focus on the profitability of the managed care organization, which is going on now. We need to bring it first back under state control so the state has more authority, more responsibility for what's going on. The state doesn't even have the numbers now about what's happening to all these patients. They can't collect any data because the managed care organizations aren't required to give it to them. The state, so this is probably one of the reasons why the state has no idea whether it's saving money or not. So we need to change the location of the control. I don't want to go to fee for service. It's going to be just like it was before, where the state is in control, but it outsources some of the functions along the way to other organizations. And there probably will be several different groups that we outsource to, because each group of patients in Medicaid are there for different reasons, some for economic reasons, some for serious health reasons, some because they're seniors and they have different issues. And we don't want to treat them all the same. They all have different issues and they should be treated differently. So that means we'll probably have different groups that we work with. But in each case, the state will keep control over what's going on.
So there aren't specific plans that you can point to in another state at this point?
Yeah. Well, Colorado is doing a lot of what I said. Connecticut is doing the same thing, where they've moved away from managed care and brought it back under a more customized approach, treating the different groups of patients that are in Medicaid differently. All focused on quality of outcome, but with a little different focus.
And how do you know that costs won't balloon even more?
Well, if you take what's called the long-term support services group, which is about 40,000 Iowans in our state, they're not going to get better from a medical standpoint. But they do need the support and service to have a quality of life for the duration of their lives, just like anybody else deserves. So let's not be focused on paying 12 to 15% to out-of-state companies for their bottom line when it was only costing us 4 to 5%. Let's use that money instead to make sure we're giving them a decent quality of life. There's a lot of money we can save by just better managing the program and not paying so much to some other company's bottom line.
Let's stick with a healthcare issue. You have been strongly allied with abortion rights activists, with abortion rights supporters. You served on the Planned Parenthood board. What can abortion rights supporters expect of you if the legislature were to remain in Republican control, if you were elected governor?
Well, I think everybody wants to reduce the number of unwanted pregnancies. We all want that. It doesn't matter what side of the other definitions you're talking about. Everybody wants to reduce unwanted pregnancies. And I think the state government needs to do everything it can to help make that happen. And I think some of the laws that we've passed recently are politically motivated. They're not motivated to actually reduce unwanted pregnancies. You see what happened with when they eliminated the funding for Planned Parenthood. The result is 50% decline in the number of visits to family planning services in our state. That's not what we want. That's not going to reduce unwanted pregnancies. That's going to increase unwanted pregnancies. So let's focus on what will help us as a state, the common sense approaches to reduce unwanted pregnancies. And let's make sure that people get access to the health care that they need to be able to make those good decisions. And let's not be just focusing on politically motivated legislation in order to drive a particular ideological agenda. That's not going to reduce unwanted pregnancies. That's not going to give people the health care that they need.
And would you veto any more legislation that further restricts abortions in the state?
Well, I think we already have the country's most restrictive anti-women's health care and anti-abortion law in the country. It's clearly unconstitutional. It was passed strictly for ideological reasons. It's going to cause more unwanted pregnancies and more conflict in people's lives. So, yes, this law should have been vetoed. It's just an unconstitutional law that's going to take court time. It's going to take administrative time. And it's not going to advance the needs of actually reducing the number of unwanted pregnancies in our state.
An environmental question. One of the biggest issues in the state that seems to go beyond Republicans and Democrats alike is water quality. What are you hearing from people and what are your concerns as far as environmental issues go in the state?
What I'm hearing is everybody wants clean water. Everybody. Whether you live in a farm or you live in a house or you live in a city or you live in rural Iowa, everybody wants clean water, of course. But everybody also recognizes that our topsoil is one of our most precious assets in our state. And we're losing 5 tons of topsoil per acre per year across Iowa. We can't do that forever. So we need to work together rather than constantly try to divide people based upon making it an urban-rural issue. It's not. It's an Iowa issue. We need to work together to find common sense, long-term solutions that can help us preserve our topsoil and protect our water quality. And there's many, many good examples. I mean, Minnesota has done that. Missouri has done it. 12 other states have all passed some kind of law providing long-term permanent funding to address preservation of topsoil and protection of water quality. We're falling farther and farther behind our competitive states. And quality of life is a big deal in order to recruit, retain young people and to grow businesses. And our quality of life when it comes to water and topsoil is declining. We need to stop that.
Are there other environmental issues that you would make a priority if elected governor?
Well, I think our air and water quality are the biggest issues, and it's part of it is the nitrates coming off the farm. Part of it's caused by our confined animal feeding operation growth so fast, and part of it's just by all the fertilizer we're putting on our fields, sometimes at the wrong time, and sometimes we don't have the right protection to keep it on the fields rather than running off to the stream. So the air and water quality issues come from a couple of different sources, and we need to address all those sources.
Finally, we're about a month out from the election. What are you expecting in the weeks ahead?
I'm expecting we'll continue to travel around the state and meet with a lot of voters and a lot of supporters and try to encourage them to vote. I think the most important thing is as many Iowans as possible should vote. The more people that vote, the better, to exercise their democratic rights and express their opinions. And I think that's what we're going to try to encourage.
Fred Hubbell, candidate for governor, Democrat, thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Clay. Appreciate it.